Okay, I want to start with one last point from the previous piece, based on what we said yesterday. If it's not clear, don't worry about it. Let's go move forward. But I want to just try to answer one question again. The maskana of the Gemara. Right? The Gemara had two prongs of what's going on here. We started in Amud Aleph with the Romulei Abaye and Rabba. Abaye asked Rabba about the contradiction, right? What we called, right? Meitav v. Yashiv. Right? Meitav against Yashiv. How can both coexist? Right? It seems to be a contradiction. The Gemara suggested whatever it suggested. And then in the course of trying to figure out what the case is, so the Gemara went off on a bit of a tangent about that brisa of Rabbah, where you have a person who has land, and it is the land drops, is the value of the land changes between Nisan and Tishrei. The land is worth more in Nisan and worth less in Tishrei. We're in Tishrei right now. He is forced to sell his land. So what do we do about that? And we explain that the real value of the land, the chiddush is that the real value of the land is the higher Nisan value. And then we were trying to figure out the application when it comes to Nezikin. The maskan of the Gemara is which case is comparable to Rava's Raisa? Ksubas Isha. Very good. How is Ksubas Isha comparable? So the Gemara had said, right, Iyika Lidmuye, about seven lines up from where they get wide, Iyika Lidmuye, the Ksubas Isha Medaminon. If we're going to compare it to something, we're going to compare it to the Ksubas Isha. So Ksubas Isha Dina Biziboris, right, the halacha is that she gets Ziboris. When she is coming to collect her Ksuba, she has to get if she has to force payment, she gets from the inferior land. V'i amra le'ihi havli beninis batzir purta. But if she says, give me less beninis, amar la, he can say to her, isha kalt kidineich shko kidahashta. V'i lo shakli kiyukra delikamei. And if you want to take... Again, so she's asking, this is different than in other cases, because she's asking for better land than she's entitled to, right? We have, again, our three levels of land. And she is entitled, right, the Isha is entitled to Ziburis, the lowest type of land. And she comes along and she says, I don't want Ziburis. Give me a smaller piece of better land, of Beninus. I'm not asking for more value. It's going to equal the same $1,000 that you, or 200 zuz that you have to pay me for the ksuba. But she says, give me less. So in that case, the chiddush is that he can say to her, I will give you what you want, but I will give it to you according to the price that is going to be in Nisan. And that's the application. What right does she have to even say, I want better land? Right? In all the other cases, he was asking for something worse. So there we could say, oh, if the Torah tells the Mazik that you can get Iddis, so maybe he could come along and say, if I can get Iddis, so certainly I can get Beninus, I can get worse land. But the Ksubas Isha case, where does it even get off the ground for her to make such a request? Yes.
Maybe it's not. She doesn't have a right. She doesn't have to give it to her. It's just like she would rather that. So they work it out. Why are we assuming that he has to give it to her?
Well, otherwise, how is it comparable to the other cases? Meaning, if they're just making their own deal, then we don't need a brisa of Rava. It sounds like her request is legitimate, but
he's
we let
to give it to her
is legitimate.
So he's forced to give it.
It sounds like once he says this, that he would have to give this to her, but he can do it at the better rate. So many of the Rishonim asked this question. I don't want to be bogged down by all of their answers, but one answer, based on what we said yesterday in the rush, is that Eina Hanami, she has no standing to do it. Really, her request, he could say, no, Go jump in a lake. I don't want to talk to you. But what did we
say? Wow.
Check out it. What's the chiddush? What did we say obligates one, when according to the Rush, once you reveal, once you're Megala Das, once you say, I'm willing to part with the land, at that point, that creates an obligation.
So the Rush goes as far to say that this is...
So maybe, again, the Rush doesn't say this inside. The Yamsha Shlomo actually wants to say this in the Rush. He says that according to the Rush, now we understand the answer to this question.
It's a reverse.
Really?
That's right.
But it's a Gila Das. It's the same idea. If you think that the fact that I reveal that I'm willing to part with the land is enough of a reason that I have to give it, and that works in the previous case, so the same thing works here also. The Chiddush is, and that's the Maskan of the Gemara, is that he can do it according to the Nisan, right? And save himself a few bucks. But that is just one more application of the Svar that the Rush says, that for some reason, again, the Rush doesn't tell us what that reason is, but the Rush seems to say that once you reveal I'm willing to part with the land, and it fits into the basic framework of the payment, you have to pay that land. The Chiddush is that you can pay it according to the higher rate. Okay, I got it. That's just one last point that came out of yesterday's discussion. Fine. Now comes the next part of the Gemara. So Zuck, the Gemara, again, two lines now from the, before they get wide. Mikol makom kasha. Still we have a problem. What's our problem? Our problem is that we went on a tangent, right? This whole piece of the Gemara was rejected in terms of our original kasha. But we have to remember, where did this whole piece come from? From the Rami Le'abaye at the beginning of the sugya. So the real question was, Meitav against Yashiv. How can both be true? If the Torah says Meitav, and we say Meitav in, Meitav yes, Midyacharin alo, and nothing else. So how can we have another drasha that says Yashiv, you can pay back with whatever you want, Afilu Subin. So that's Mikol Makom Kasha, says Rashi, Meitav v'Yashiv demarbi Subin. That's the question. If you're going to allow payment with Subin, which again, some sort of coarse brand, some type of something which has value. It has value, but it's not money and it's not land. So how do these sukkim work together? So that question that we began with, we still don't have a resolution. So we come welcome kasha. So we're still bothered by the contradiction. Yes.
Did we go through the Tosfos yesterday?
No.
Because he seems to imply that the second case was good and the third case was only written just because they were like listing types of cases or something like that, unless I misunderstood.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about. We didn't do it inside, so we can talk about it in a state of mind.
Okay, fine. But then
it's not a kasha on this. You're like on the previous Gemara.
Not what we just started. Yeah.
Let's take what we just started. Okay. So Mikol Makom Kasha. So we still have this question which is lingering as to how are we miyashev the Sira. How do we resolve this contradiction? So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kol di Yahiv Lei, Mimetav Leisav Lei. Kol di Yahiv Lei, Mimetav Leisav Lei. What does that mean? Kol di Yahiv Lei, what's Yahiv?
Give.
Anything that you give him, Mimetav Leisav Lei. You should give him from Metav. What does that mean? The best of your Subin. Meaning, how is he suggesting that Metav and Yashiv work together?
So you have only Subin, the best of the Subin.
Well, a little different. It sounds like whatever you want to pay, Yashiv tells us you can pay with whatever you want to pay. But whatever you're using to pay, Meitav is a qualifier. Meitav says it has to be the best. So if you're giving, not subjective, again, it's however you figure it out, whatever the market is. For instance, if you're going to pay with apples, you can't pay. So Yashiv says you can pay with apples. I want to pay back my debt. I owe the person who I damaged $100. So I can give him back however many bushels of apples is $100. But when I'm giving those apples, I can't give wormy apples. I have to find the best apples that are out there. Again, within reason, obviously. And I have to pay that. So Meitav, according to Rava, qualifies Yashiv. They work together. The basic din of what I have to pay is Yashiv Afilu Subin. Whatever you want. You just have to make sure that the value that you destroyed of this guy, you replace that value. Now that I've chosen what I want to do, even Subin, even the chref, the garbage, it has to be Meitav. The best of the garbage. How we figure that out? Again, we'll bring in our assessors and we'll figure that out. Again, this is explicit in Rashi. Look at Rashi, because if you didn't understand exactly what the Gemara means, Rashi makes it clear for us. Called the Yoyle Meitav Yoyle. V'chipara le Subin. If you're going to pay Subin, yitain lo, give him mi Subin me'ulin shelo. You give him for the best that you have. That's an important word that Rashi says at the end. Right? We're never going to obligate, and this has been consistent. We had this, I think we mentioned it in passing once beforehand, in terms of buying land in order to pay back. Right? There was a Tosfos somewhere that pointed. I'm sorry?
The Eve, if he wants to,
In
Rashi. You're talking about that you have the option to pay.
No. I'm talking about the Shalom. Meaning we never obligate you to go out and buy. Meaning, if you only have wormy apples, but they're in the supermarket, there are better apples, and you decide you're paying with apples, that the best apples you have are the wormy ones, you can pay with those. That is, it has to be made up of what you have. We never obligate you to go out and buy more stuff in order to say, oh, what do you mean? We live upstate New York, there are tons of beautiful apples. You should go out to the farmer's market and get the best ones. No, you never have to go out of what you have. The entire discussion is a discussion about within what we have. In the next sugya, we'll actually see what happens in circumstances when a person doesn't have iddus and he's paying with land. So how are those payments made? But the Gemara is consistent that we do not obligate you to go out and purchase new land. And that's what it says, that's what the word shalom is significant at the end of Rashi. It's only what he has in his possession. But if you have different quality ones within your possession, if I want to pay with bread, and I have moldy bread, and I have fresh bread, I have to pay with the fresh bread. I have to pay with the best of what I have. That is Rava's suggestion to be Yashiv the Stira. So says the Gemara, that can't be. V'hametav sadehu k'siv. He forgot what the pasuk says. What does the pasuk say? Meitav sadehu, meitav of your field.
What is Subin?
Subin is brand, horse brand. Where do you get it?
At your fields, right? I guess. So why can't they be part of the field?
Meitav no, sadehu. The field itself.
Yeah, but the field said meitav sadehu means literally the field. Maybe it's the best.
Okay, but again, tafilu Subin. It includes things that aren't part of the field. Also, if you have you want to play with the game with a. A pencil, you have to do with the best pencils that you have. Afil Subin is a chiddush that even the real garbage coarse brand, you can even pay with that.
You can do anything.
Correct. Oh, so what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Meitav Sadehu. So what?
So the Subin is not part of the Sadehu.
And therefore?
You can't pay with it.
What's the kasha on Rava? Again, Rava just suggested.
How can you pay with it?
Again, just in terms of the construct, Rava suggested that Yashiv is what is the fundamental payment, right? And Meitav is a qualifier. Meitav says whatever you're going to pay with has to be the best.
So limits Yashiv.
It should be the other way around.
Right?
Yashiv qualifies Meitav.
It should be Yashiv qualifies Meitav because Meitav already has a built-in qualifier. There's a limitation in how the Torah presents it. Because if the Torah had wanted to say that you're paying Meitav of everything, what should the Torah have said?
Meitav alone.
Meitav alone. You didn't need the word Sadehu. The word Sadehu limits the scope of Meitav.
Right.
So Rashi says,
V'ikad
et ha'amrit, and if it's like you, Rava, said, Lichtov Meitav Stama. Let the Torah just say Meitav alone. Why would the Torah say Meitav Sadehu? So again, Rashi is filling in what we can figure out on our own. Rashi does that for us because sometimes we don't figure it out on our own. Right? Rashi is just holding our hand. It's clear that that's the kasha of the Gemara, because what else is problematic about what Rava says? The problem with what Rava says is that if Meitav is just there to qualify Yashiv, then the Torah could have written it more simply. And there are no extra words in the Torah. So the Torah is going to go ahead and write Meitav Sadeh who? Meitav of the Sadeh. And obviously it did not mean to tell us that Meitav is going to be, that Meitav is going to be on everything. So now, we're back to our question. We still have a contradiction that Abaye asked. So what's the relationship between Meitav and Yashiv?
So at this stage, now that we have this, so then what do we think Yashiv is teaching us?
We don't know. Again, the pasha says that you can pay with anything you want.
Right, but this seems to go against that. Meitav Sadeh means...
That's a contradiction. So we don't know.
So we don't know. In this
That's what we're trying to answer. Question. Right. That was Abaye's question. So it says the Gemara back inside. Elor, right? Elor's our rejection. Right? So we just rejected what we just said from Rava because of the fact that it says Sadeo. Elor, Kiyasa, Rapapa, Rapuna, Radio, Yeshua, and Rav. When Rapapa and Rapuna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, came from the base medrash of Rav, Pirshu, they explained, Kol Mili Mitavu. Everything is Meitav. Everything is Meitav. Huh? How's everything Meitav? So Gemara they explained. Di'i lo mizdaben hacha, mizdaben b'masa achriti. Because if you can't sell it here, you can sell it somewhere else. Levar me'ara, except for land, delesev levi Meitav, they have to give Meitav, so that buyers will jump at it. So that buyers will jump at it. What does that mean? What does it mean? Everything is Meitav except for land. Because it can go from place to place, and land is stationary. What does that mean?
Look at Rashi.
Is that?
Look at Rashi.
Okay, so read Rashi. No, you read Rashi. Because you're right there, you read Rashi.
No, I'm just saying.
Let's go, read Rashi!
That's what we should do.
Inside, read Rashi.
Kol mili dimitaltulin.
Oh, so he filled an important word. Right? Kol mili dimitaltulin. What does that mean? Anything which is?
Movable.
Anything which is transportable, portable. Good?
That you could move them from place to place, have a Meitav.
That is Meitav. That is Meitav. What does that mean? Rashi kind of just explained to us what the Gemara says. But why is that? What is Meitav all about? Yeah, Jack?
Meaning we don't have to, the person that wants to give Sobin, we don't have to tell them to give the best of your Sobin, because Sobin, which is a metaltalin, is inherently Meitav.
How?
Because it's all relative. You can take it from wherever you are. Maybe here it's not Meitav. You go to another town, where
right.
There it's Meitav.
Interesting. So your suggestion is that you can take it somewhere where it will be Meitav. There's always somewhere where it will be Meitav. Interesting, yeah?
I thought the Sobin was still considered an inferior quality, like brand, like it's still considered an inferior quality, but the thing is that if I can't sell it to Jack, I can go over to the next town and sell it to Shield. I can always find a buyer for it, whereas with land, if I have a piece of land here and the rum's all the way over there, 100 miles away, you're not going to want to buy my if I can't sell the land to the people around me, then who's going to buy my land? I can't pick it up and move it to you to sell it to you.
Very good.
Whereas the brand, I can pick it up and bring it to the
Very
person.
Good, very good. So what Avery's saying is that we need to take a step back and understand what Meitav means. What's Meitav all about? Right? Until now, Kobe, we've been assuming, we've actually mentioned this Svara in passing.
So you could sell
but
it.
The basic Svara has been that Meitav means give the best. But why are you giving the best? The Gemara here reveals a Svara that we said earlier. Right? The Gemara here is saying is that you know why the Torah obligates Meitav? The Torah obligates Meitav because it wants to make it easy to sell. Ideally, a person wants to get money if they're owed money. Because, as a great woman once told me, cash is king. Right, you can do?
Who told you?
My mother-in-law. The cash is king. So, if you have money, you can do whatever you need to do with it. So if you get the money and you take the money, so if you want to buy land, you buy land. If you want to buy Pepsi, you're going to buy Pepsi. If you want to get coffee, you're going to get coffee. Whatever you want to get, you can take the money. So the money is the ideal way for anybody to get paid back. Now that we're in a, we'll call it...
Yeah.
Now that we're in, we'll call it a less than ideal situation. The Torah says that you're not obligated to give money. You're obligated to give him the value. But we understand, and the Torah understands, that he may not want to keep the object. Just because you love, these glass trinkets that go on top of your fireplace, and they have value, I have zero desire to have one of those in my house. Now you've paid with them, now what do I do with them? So we understand that I'm probably going to want to sell them. So Meitav is a unique halacha that when it comes to land, because land has an inherent weakness in being able to sell it, that it's stuck where it is. So A, I may not want, there's less of a chance that I'm going to even want that piece of land necessarily where it is. And B, is there's a very limited market of people who are going to want to purchase the land because it's only there, right? It can't travel around the big. Therefore, the Torah says we want to make it as easy as possible. Well, it'll be easy, I don't know. But as easy as it possible for you to sell. Therefore, you have to have Meitav. Not because we want the Nizak to have the best stuff. It's all about wanting to give you the ability, and this is what it sounds like we're saying Meitav is about, but we want to get the ability to get Kesef. One, you have the ability to get money. And the easiest way for you to get money with land is if we give you a good geschmack, a piece of land, and now people will potentially want to buy it more. Masha ain't game when it comes to metaltal, and when it comes to anything else, somewhere I'll be able to sell it. Somewhere I'll travel around. And again, I don't know if we have to go as far as what Jack said and say that you'll get the best price, but I'll certainly be able to sell it. I will be able to convert, right? That's what it sounds like. Maybe that's a good way of saying it. What the Torah is concerned about is that when you're getting paid with shoveh kesef, with something which has value and is not money, we want you to be able to convert it to kesef. So when it comes to Yashiv says they can pay with whatever they want, because all those things have the same quality of meitav of being able to convert it, because I can travel to Yehopetzville, I can travel wherever it is, and be able to sell it. When it comes to land, the Torah has to up the value of what's being given a little bit in order to facilitate as best as possible your ability to be able to sell it. And that's what Meitav is about. And that's why Meitav specifically says Meitav Sadeo. It's a din that is limited specifically to the field. Yeah.
So great, but why then do you not also make it easy on metallical? I mean, why do we then say he is able to go to the next town and sell, but who says the guy wants to go to the next town and sell? Why don't we make the Nizak's life easier in every case?
First of all, maybe someone in his town will
Meaning, better Meitav will also sell better. I guess the Torah could have done that. Could have done that. It sounds like the Torah wanted to give you the ability. Meaning, if the starting point was Meitav of the Sod, then that Hebrew said, right? If our perspective is we want to give you the best thing, so then, right, if we're going to give you the best of the Sadeh, one second, then we'll give you the best of the Subin as well. Right. But once the perspective is, we want you to get paid in whatever way you get paid.
Right.
And we want you to be able to convert it into money, so as long as you can travel around with it, you can hold on to it, you can send it with a shaliach out to the marketplace, you'll be able to sell it somewhere, that's sufficient. But there was a deficiency that we had to, that the Torah had to take care of, specifically when it comes to land. So I think that's why you're right. Would that have made it easier? Yes. If we would have said you can't pay back with Shabbat Kesset, that also would have made it easier. But that, right, that I don't think the Torah was going that far. The Torah wanted to give the ability. Yeah, Shabbat?
I think I understand.
Fair? Good. Yeah.
I saw it differently. Is this possibly also another way of understanding it?
Yeah. We'll see.
So, perhaps I thought the Torah was teaching us a certain fundamental lesson that ultimately, like, it really wanted to introduce the idea that within a person's own subjective experience, you could say something to me could be Meitav. So I thought what I was saying is that once you have, like, Metalism, you can go, eventually, it's sort of similar to what Jack was saying, but, like, eventually you will find someone who views it as something valuable, and they will buy it, and to them it's Meitav. To them it's something very, very, whatever, it's very valuable. But when it comes to land, because you have the sort of, like, because it's limited in a sense, because land doesn't move.
Yeah.
So that's why land's different. But in general, I thought it was introducing this whole idea about subjective metaverness.
And again, it's a nice Musar concept. If that's the shot here, then the only way you can get there is if you assume that the metav is going back to qualify the yashiv again, and we already said that we don't want to say that. Because that's not meduyuk in the pasuk. Because meitav, right? Meitav is limited to sadeh. It says meitav sadehu. So the Torah has limited where meitav applies.
No, I mean, I thought it was saying yashiv, and based on what I was saying, yashiv would teach you that you can pay when it comes to meitav, not anything else.
Right.
You can pay with whatever you want.
Why?
Because you will find somebody who views it as meitav. That's as far as I thought, which introduces the idea of subjectivity. And then Meitav is giving you a specific exception and qualifier.
I can't say you're wrong. I just don't know where you see that. Do you see it in the language of the Gemara and the language of Rashi? I'm not saying it's wrong, but you're adding a piece that I'm just not sure where it comes from.
How does it not answer the contradiction?
It can answer the contradiction, but if it's not what the Gemara is saying, it's your answer to the contradiction, not the Gemara's. Well, again, read the words of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Why? All it talks about is the ability to sell it.
Right. But people are not going to buy something unless they view it as valuable.
Or they need it.
But they also view it as valuable. Why do they view that they need it?
Okay.
It's valuable to them.
But once if that becomes Meitav, then you say the same thing about the land.
No, so the reason the land's a little bit different, the bar land, is because land has a... not a disability, what's the word? Like, it has a
disadvantage.
Disadvantage in that it can't move. So once you're saying it's not going to be able to move, so we're going to make it a little, we're going to up the objective.
I hear you. Again, I don't see it in the Lashon of the Gemara. I can't tell you that it's wrong, but I don't see the Gemara, that you have to say that in the Gemara. It could be true, but the way Rashi and the Gemara say it, I don't think we need to go that step. So maybe one of the other Rishonim does. Yeshua?
I don't understand how this is the answer to the question.
Oh, good. We have to explain that stuff. Yeah.
Why do we make this jump to say that just because an item is able to be moved around that we're going to be able to find a buyer for it? Like, it's not true for everything. Like, we're saying, even if we're saying brand, like, let's say you have somebody who pays you a brand.
Right.
It happens to be the peak of brand season. All the big brand companies are selling a top quality brand.
Right.
You have to sell this dried out, cheap brand that, you know, this guy gave you from his, like, whatever. So what? But according to what we're saying here, that brand would still be a good payment. It's not Meitav over there. You can't sell it.
Maybe you'll find someone.
It doesn't have to be Meitav.
What do you mean? But
it doesn't have to be Meitav. It has to have the ability to take it somewhere where they regard it.
But the whole point about Meitav is that it's something that we can sell. It can be sold right away. But the guys don't want this.
It doesn't say right away. It doesn't say that it has to be sold right away.
It has to be easily sold. Like, yes, belt issue.
Again, but you have to understand, if I'm giving you the brand as payment for $100 payment, that means that there was somebody professional who assessed that the brand is worth $100.
Right now.
Right now.
So then you would be able to sell $100.
Right.
You said before.
It's not guaranteed you're able to sell.
It's not guaranteed. But again, the norm is that nothing is guaranteed. You could have this, and it's also not guaranteed you're going to sell.
What if
we're raising the chances.
Or you said like Apple. Like, you were talking about Apple, like worms.
Right.
Like that could be Meta.
Yeah. No, it's not Meta, but that could be a payment. That's Shavu Kesef.
Why?
Because my cows like to eat wormy apples. So I will pay 50 cents an apple as opposed to $2 for a good apple in order to buy those apples. But I have to give $100 worth. It's going to be worth less money. There's no question about that. But if it's a valid payment, that means that there's somebody who assessed it professionally and said that it's worth that. That means you could sell it somewhere for that. The answer is that if it's cigarette butts and there's no value to sell it anywhere, then no matter how many cigarette butts you give, you're not going to get to the $100. So it's not going to be a valid payment because I didn't pay you $100. But if we could figure out that I've given you the money that you were supposed to get, that value, then it must be that that value can be gotten somewhere else. And the point is that it's fundamentally easier to get that value from something which is movable than something which is not movable, where it's going to be more limited. And therefore, the Torah raised the bar to require Meitav specifically when it comes to the Sadeh.
Oh.
Question?
That's a good idea. That was my question.
Babe. How does nowadays play out?
Not nowadays. Let's
just cast the question.
If I don't have to answer, you can ask it.
No, I just want, nowadays with all our technology and stuff,
yeah.
you can view lands from afar probably, you can take care of it by,
okay.
By so I'm saying like, would that mean that nowadays maybe you don't actually need Meitav land?
No.
It's something that people can,
no.
So easily accessible?
No. It's still more limited. You still have to have somebody who's willing to go there.
Yeah, because the technology is so much less limited.
Okay, but no. It's still limited. It's more limited than Metaltalin.
I'm not a farmer, but I'm saying
but like, it's more limited than Metaltalin.
And maybe it's the same. Meaning you can put it online equally. Okay, technically
you have to have somebody go there.
Okay.
That's always going to be more limiting. You can't move. Yes.
Doesn't this actually answer our question?
Which question? The Stira?
Yeah.
It does. It's supposed to. The question right now is how. Please. So again, if we're clear on what the Gemara says right now, so the Gemara is suggesting this as the... Right, so again, in terms of what is Meitav about, so the Chiddush of the Gemara... is now Meitav is about not giving the Nizak because we want to take care of the Nizak, but it's about, right, giving the Nizak the ability to convert to Kesef.
I thought my Pshat was beautiful.
It was.
You just might have your Pshat for Gemara Rashi.
Doesn't mean it's not beautiful. So now, it's gone full circle. So what do we learn from Meitav? What do we learn from Meitav, and what do we learn from Yashiv, and why do we need them both? Meitav, go.
Didn't we just answer that?
So please,
you can tell reiterate the...
Okay. Meitav, right, is going on Sadeh.
Right.
If you're paying with Sadeh.
Right.
And if you're not paying with Sadeh, therefore we have the pasuk of Yashiv that says you
can if I only had...
Yashiv says you can pay with whatever you want. Now, if you want to pay with Sadeh, we have the pasuk of Meitav.
So if I only had Yashiv, let's make sure it's clear. If I only had Yashiv, then what would I have said?
Any type of land.
Could you pay with Brecht or Gwen?
Right. Doesn't matter, right? I can pay with Ziboris, I can pay with whatever I want across the board, whether it's Metaltalin, whether it is land, I would have to do that. So I can't only have, and if I only had Meitav...
Only land, nothing else.
That's a sheet of the word.
Land and cash. You wouldn't be able to give Subin.
You have to pay Meitav of the Subin.
No, you wouldn't be able to give Subin at all.
If you only had the word Meitav, you'd think everything was Subin as well. Unless you had Sadeh with Meitav.
Why should you sell
Meitav? We have three opinions on what I would have said if I only had Meitav.
I think it's very Rashi spelled it out. It would have said.
Okay, so let's see Rashi. Read Rashi.
I'm talking about the other Rashi.
Which Rashi?
He's saying look up Meitav Stama. If our original thing you should have just wrote Meitav,
right.
Not Meitav Sadeh. So the
right.
Fact that it has Meitav Sadeh
right.
would have told us you can only do Meitav Sadeh. That's it. You wouldn't be able to do anything else. That's what I would think that you would only know.
Okay, so let's look at the Shita Mikubetzes. The Shita Mikubetzes just spells it out for us to make sure that we're very clear at the end of the sugya what the pshat is. The Shita Mikubetzes says, Komili metavo, vahashta tzrichi tervayu. We need them both. That's the way the only way we can be asked the stira is that we point out not only that it's not a contradiction, but we point out why we need each pasuk. De'i loksiv yashiv. If it did not say yashiv, hava mina metav sadehu davka. I would have said only metav sadehu, which means I can only
pay with money or field. It means
pay with the best of my field, or obviously with money. Correct. The yashiv hava mina davka metalflin dunya de kasef dechsiv gabe the kaf tzarech metav sadehu. So that's in the end why I need them both. So I need Yashiv.
Well, but he hasn't mentioned land.
How do we know Kesef if we would have just said Meitav?
How would I know Kesef?
Yeah, how would you know if you would?
So I think the pasuk there says Kesef. It says Kesef Yashiv Lebalah. Kesef Yashiv Lebalah. So we know Kesef Yashiv Lebalah. The question was, of course, you're Huo. That's what you're doing with the Kesef. It's obvious. So Yashiv is the revoy. Yeah?
But why doesn't he mention land?
He does.
He says, Hava mina davka metatlan, give me the kesef.
Oh, no. If I only had that, the kaks are made up today. That's why he made up today. I teach land.
No, meaning he doesn't say you would know land. He's just saying you would know kesef or metatlan. Unless it's
right, you would not know land.
Bechlau?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Well, really? I thought you wouldn't know. I thought you wouldn't know
metatlan. That's what he just said. That's what he just said. If it only said, Yashim, Hava mina davka metatlan, dumya de kesef.
Why wouldn't you know land?
Why not?
Because of the weakness of land. Exactly the point.
Well,
and if the pasuk said,
but why not land bechlal? Land is
because I would have said that Yashiv is coming to say that if it says kesef Yashiv lebalav, that the Yashiv, whatever it's including, has to be similar to kesef.
Portable?
Yeah, metatlim, something which moves. Why? I'll give you the svara. Because land has a weakness that it's stationary, that it's stuck. So if I only had Yashiv, I would have said only Kesef or Metaltalin. Only movable things, because that's Dumya de Kesef, right? You have to remember, when it's a reboy, when the drasha is coming to include something, so if it says Kesef Yashiv Lebalav, so oftentimes the drasha is qualifying what came before it. So the Iker payment is Kesef. And again, according to what we said, that still remains even the maskana. The main pasuk is kesef. Because even once I have, so meitav comes along, and meitav teaches me you can pay land, and it must be meitav. So if I only had yashiv, I wouldn't know you could do land at all. If I only had meitav, I would think that is only kesef or the best of the land. And I wouldn't know that you can pay with all the metatlon. Therefore, I need both. And the fact that it's written this way of the kesef by the yashiv and now working with the metav, maybe is what informs what the Gemara said is the yishuv, which is that the underpinnings of what Meitav is about is the same as Metaltalin. That it's all a din of really getting back to Kesef. It's really getting back to Kesef and giving the Nizak the ability to convert whatever it is that he has collected into Kesef. Good? Oh, excellent. So that is the long-winded maskana of the maskana of that Gemara. Did anybody get a chance to start the next sugya yet? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, so we don't have much time left anyway. So maybe I'll just outline for you what to think about when you start the sugya. When you start the sugya tomorrow, Birkas Hashem. So the next sugya builds off not this detail, but again, certainly what we've been talking about when it comes to Meitav. So we have been talking about all these different types of lands and the Yiddis and the Boris and Beinonis, and now the Gemara finally asks, Boy Meir Shmuel Bar Abba Me'akronia Me'Rabi Abba, Kishahain Shaman. What's Shaman?
Assess.
Right, assess, the evaluation. So when the based it has to make the assessment, whoever's making the assessment in terms of figuring out these categories of land and what you're going to have to pay, how do they do it? And we in passing mentioned this question a while ago. Bishelohein Shamim or Bishel Olam Hein Shamim?
Objective versus subjective.
Right. Right. Does it depend on the lands of this particular person?
Who's this person? Is that going to be problematic?
Or, I don't think so. We can talk about later why what we're getting at. I just want to make sure that this is the basic construct here is clear. Are Idis, Beninus, and Ziboris categories that are determined based on the market? Meaning, irrespective of what this guy has, we know that if you're paying, again, just for Lamashal, you know, if you're paying, you know, $250, you know, for a square foot, that is Idis. If you're paying $150 or, you know, or $250 or greater, right? Or greater, that's going to be Idis. If you're Beninus, it's going to be between $150 and $250, and this will be, you know, less than $150 per square foot would be Ziboris. Just, you know, those numbers I'm making up, just to give you a perspective. And then we just look at what lands this guy has, and we plug it into the equation. What is it? Is it Beninus or Ziboris? Alternatively, if he has three pieces of land, then we say the best piece of land that he has is Idis. The middle piece that he has is Beninus, and the last one that he has is Ziboris, irrespective of where that falls out on this scale. Which would mean, what's the nafka mina? So Rashi tells us. Rashi says, Kishain Shamin high Idis Ziboris, when they're making the determination, Mishelo in Shamin, Vahu da have Idis Lididei, whatever Idis for him, I'm sorry, Lididei Demazik, Yoheglei, then he's going to give it. The E is like Idis Viziboris. So if he has Idis and Viziboris, Vishavia Ziboris today, Ki Idis the Alma. This guy is a very wealthy guy. So his Ziboris, his personal land that he has, that is worth the least amount of money, is well over the $250 you know, dollars per square foot. He has $250, he's got $350, he's got $500, he's got all of this. What?
And we this is just basically the same outlook as Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva.
Oh, that's a good point. Not exactly, but we'll see.
No, I'm saying it's just not.
Afilo, one second. Afilo lohachi lo yoyer le mazik le nizak elomi idis didei. Dibasar arasa didei azlina. So would we say that if it goes by his own lands, that he has to pay the, you know, $700 per square foot, because that is his idis? That would be if it's bishalom, because he has to pay, and we assess it based on his own. If it's Bishal Olam, Rashi says, O Bishal Olam, Shaman Biyavim Ziburis, Shayla Falahuidis, then he can give his lower one. But the difference between this and Rabbi Shmuel and Akiva is that it's not based on the Nizak. It's not based on the Nizak. So that is the subject the Gemara had. The Gemara was going to look at at length, yeah.
Is this Shalom, that's the Mazak, this guy?
Yes. Now the left, yeah.
I don't really understand the question, because if it's an usher,
yeah,
then even his worst land, the nizak will still be happy with it, because it's still like market it is.
He'll be happy with it, but the question is, what can Beis Din force him to sell? Listen, even if the guy's happy, unfortunately, often when it comes to money, if people know they're entitled to more, the guy's going to want the $700 per square foot. He's going to say, the Torah says, Meitav. That's not Meitav for you. You're giving me your garbage. You're giving me your $250 per square foot piece, and I know you have a $700 one. So if we do it based on the guy, Bishalom, the Nizak is going to say, you're right. Objectively, I'm getting a good piece of land, but I can get really prime real estate. I want that. If it's Bishalom, then as long as he's in that category, then he can give. According to Rabbi Shmuel, good old Rabbi Shmuel, not so long ago we had him, who says that we assess the damage based on the Nizak, you don't have this Sahabik. We're asking according to Rabbi Akiva. Why is it that it depends on whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, so that you should...
Okay.
Think about it. Think about it. It's not so simple. There's a simple answer and there's a not so simple. Think about that. And that is what we will pick up with Amir Tzah Shem tomorrow. Rabosai.